Father, we bless you and thank you for today. We pray now for preaching and teaching power. Use me, God, to help your people to grow, to go to your glory and honor, that we might be a people who are committed to growing so that we can help somebody else to grow. We ask you to have your way now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the things that is celebrated in any field are those who are deemed to be great at their craft. It doesn't matter whether it's sports or business or entertainment. Award show after award show are created in order to celebrate those who are deemed to be great in their field. But the world's definition of greatness is often focused on status, on popularity, on possessions, on a skill set, but not necessarily an anointing. One of the shows that I've always had a problem with that we have celebrated in the body of Christ is the show Sunday's Best. And the reason I detest that show is not the idea of celebrating those who have a great set of skills and gifts, but it's our attempt to emulate the world, to criticize and critique those who may just have more of an anointing on their life than you do. But here we are lifting up a standard that is not the standard of God. Because when we talk about God's greatness, God measures greatness by obedience, by faithfulness, and a willingness to follow his voice. In our story today, the main character of our story wasn't trying to be famous. He wasn't chasing a platform. He wasn't seeking applause. He was simply trying to follow God. And in following God, he did not make himself great, but God made him great. Today, for a few moments, I want to challenge you on what it means to be the greatest you can be. And I say that because there are many of you under the sound of my voice and those of you who are watching today who have been content living at a level of mediocrity. You're okay with surviving. You're okay with getting by. And God says, no, I have so much more for you. And listen, God not only has more for you, but he sees more in you than you see in yourself. So today I want to talk for a few moments about how to become great for God. How to become great for God. I don't anticipate getting through this entire message today. And so if not, we'll pick this up on next week. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? Amen. If you need an outline, raise your hand. For those of you who are watching, you can find a downloadable version of our outline at our website, goodhope.org, or you can download our app and you can find an electronic fill in the blank outline there on your smartphone or tablet. Our text today focuses on the character of Abram. Abram. His name is changed later to Abraham, but for the sake of this message, we're going to refer to him as Abram. And the reason we're going to refer to him as Abram is because I believe God wants us to see Abram to understand that there's an Abraham that came out of Abram. Right. And the reason I want you to see that distinction is because I believe God has more to come out of you than who you may be right now. Now, the question on the table is, how did Abram get to this point in his life? If you look at Genesis chapter 11, beginning at verse 27, the New Living Translation says, this is the account of Terah's family. Terah was the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran was the father of Lot. But Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeans, the land of his birth while his father, Terah, was still living. What's interesting is this is the first account in the Bible of a child naturally dying before their parent. This is the first time natural death occurred, and we see the reversal of what is the norm. Look at what the text says. Verse 29, meanwhile, Abram and Nahor both married. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. Milcah and her sister Iscah were daughters of Nahor's brother Haran. But Sarai was unable to become pregnant and had no children. So Haran dies. And the text says that one day, look at verse 31, Terah took his son Abram, his daughter-in-law Sarai, and his grandson Lot, his son Haran's child, and moved away from Ur of the Chaldeans. He was headed for the land of Canaan. Now, we don't know why Terah felt the need to move. Maybe he felt the need to move because he wanted to leave some bad memories behind in Ur of the Chaldeans, because that's where his son Haran died. The Bible says, whatever the reason, he is making his way to Canaan. And the text says he was headed for the land of Canaan, verse 31, but they stopped at Haran and settled there. Underline that phrase. They stopped at Haran and settled there. Terah lived for 205 years and died while still in Haran. I need you to hear me today, because I believe there's somebody who may not have been going physically, but you may have been on your way spiritually to a place where God wanted you to be, and you found a place of comfort and you settled there. He's on his way to Canaan. He stops in Haran. We don't know why he stops in Haran. Maybe it's because it was the same town that his son had the same name of. We don't know if he came to a place of grief, a place of disappointment, a place of despair. We don't know what the reason is, but the text says on his way to Canaan, he gets to Haran and he settles there. And my brothers and my sisters, I want you to know there's somebody in here today. You have settled where you are. Maybe your settling has been emotional. Maybe your settling has been mental. Maybe your settling has been physical. Maybe your settling has been spiritual. And here's the tragedy. The tragedy is, the text says, Terah not only settled there, but he died there. Yeah, the only thing worse than settling where you didn't intend to be is dying without a chance to move on. I haven't even gotten to my sermon yet. I'm just trying to help somebody understand that God is concerned and God wants to do something great in you, with you, and through you. And God invites you to be a part of what he's trying to do. And just like God invited Abram, God invites you. See, Abram teaches us what it looks like to walk on the path of spiritual greatness. Abram didn't have a big name, but he started with a big yes. Because when God invited him, he says yes to God. All of you have the opportunity to move to the next level of God. Every one of you has the opportunity to move from mediocrity to excellence. Every one of you has the opportunity to become great for God. All you have to do is give God a big yes at whatever God is asking you to do. And somebody today, I want you to know the invitation that he gave to Abram is an invitation, parenthetically, that he gives to you. Let me give you a definition for becoming great for God. I want you to fill this in today and help you in your learning of this. A definition for becoming great for God: discovering God's purpose for your life, developing yourself for that purpose and deploying yourself in that purpose. Discovering God's purpose for your life. What is God's purpose for your life? What does God specifically want you to do? Put that back up, please, because there's some still looking at it. Discovering God's purpose for your life, developing yourself for that purpose, understanding that you have to put work in order to develop yourself so you can do what you've discovered God wants you to do, and then deploying yourself in that purpose. In other words, activating your yes, activating your gift, activating your talent. So now you're not just standing on the sideline or sitting in the seat of the sorrowful, but you are actually engaged and allowing God to do something great through you. Now, let me just throw this in for somebody today. Anything and anyone that keeps you from discovering, developing, and deploying to live out God's purpose for your life is a distraction from the devil. And watch this. Before you leave here saying, Pastor said you the devil. What I'm saying is they're being used by the devil. Listen. Even Jesus said to Peter, Satan, get thee behind me. And it's the same Peter who God would use later to preach on the day of Pentecost and see 3,000 coming. Because if we're not careful, listen carefully, we all can be used by the devil at a moment in time. Here's the first thing I want you to see if you're going to become great for God. Let's see how far we can get. Number one, you can become great for God when you hear when God speaks to you. You can become great for God when you hear when God speaks to you. Genesis 12, verse 1, the A part, the ESV translation says, now the Lord said to Abram, the Lord, the YHWH, the tetragrammaton, the one who was in the beginning before the beginning began, God spoke to Abram. Now, what's interesting is it's the Lord that initiates this talk with Abram, at least on this occasion. Matter of fact, we don't even know if Abram had a relationship with God. The text and history suggest that he was an idolater. He was an idolater. He did not know or have a relationship with God. But the Lord speaks to Abram with intention and focus to get Abram to move from where he was to where the Lord wanted him to be. People tend to think they are experts in discerning whether or not God has spoken to somebody else. Yeah, you ever heard somebody say, you know, well, the Lord told me, and folk would look at him and say, man, God ain't told him nothing like that. We seem to be quick to discern whether or not God has spoken to somebody else, but are you as deliberate in discerning when God has spoken to you? See, the greatest challenge in life, I believe, is actually hearing when God speaks to you. How many times have you said or heard somebody said, I should have followed my first mind? And that's typically on the other side of a missed opportunity. But can you imagine if you actually heard God, knew it was God, and then decided to obey what God told you to do? Now, somebody may ask the question, well, how do you know when God is speaking to you? Yeah, one of the ways I figured it out is you got to spend some time talking to him. Yeah, when you spend time talking with God and you spend time listening to hear God, you'll be surprised how many times God is speaking. You just talking so much you can't hear him. God will speak to you through the Holy Spirit. Sometimes through a still small voice. Sometimes God will speak through his word. You'll read your Bible on your daily devotional time and God will speak to you about a situation or circumstance. Sometimes it's in prayer that God will speak to you. When you pray and when you make your requests unto God, and when you ask God and then you spend time yielding to God and take the time to let God speak back to you. Sometimes you'll hear God speak back to you. Sometimes it's in a song. Sometimes it's in a sermon. Sometimes it's in a circumstance. Have you ever come to church sometimes and you were praying, you were deliberating about something, you were struggling about something, and then here comes that old preacher getting up to preach like he's been eavesdropping on your conversation with God? I've had opportunities when I would leave church, sometimes you just say, okay, God, I heard you. I got the message. I got it loud and clear. Here's two important things when God speaks. First, know when God speaks to you, it is not going to be in conflict or contradiction with the word of God. God's not going to ever tell you something that's in conflict with the word of God. Don't be talking about, oh, God told me to kill you. No, that wasn't God. I know that was the devil. Second, never ask somebody to give you a second opinion when God gives you his opinion. See, here's one of the things that I've learned. When God speaks to you, it is a tailor-made message for you. And whenever you go to somebody else and ask them to corroborate what God said to you, they may not see what God is saying to you. And the reason they don't see it many times is because they're projecting their own limitations on the conversation. And because they can't see it for them, they certainly can't see it for you. You got to make sure you hear what God is saying to you. That's what happened when Samuel heard from God. You remember 1 Samuel chapter 3. It's on your outline beginning at verse 8. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. The first two times he heard a voice, he thought it was Eli. Eli said, it wasn't me. By the third time, Eli said, oh, no, it's not me. It's God speaking. And you need to make sure that you hear what God is saying. Abraham heard from God. There's nothing in the text suggesting that going was Abraham's idea, right? Abraham doesn't have any idea. He didn't go to God and say, hey, God, I want to go to Canaan. No, he hears. Excuse me. He hears from God. Can I tell you one of the mistakes so many of us make in life? We take off doing what we want to do and what sounds good to us, and then ask God to bless it after we take off doing it. We take off, and we're going to go left, and we say, okay, God, this sounds good to me. It makes sense to me. And God says, but you didn't check with me before you left. And you're asking God to bless where you're going. Greatness was in Abram, but he could not get there until he first heard God. Here's the second thing I want you to see. Number two, you can become great for God when you do what God tells you to do. Greatness is not only in hearing. Greatness starts in hearing, but it must continue in you doing. God has his part. The question is, will you do your part? Watch what the text says. Now the Lord said to Abram, verse 1, Genesis 12, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. God called Abram to the most difficult task a person can face, and that's changing your life. Completely turning around your life, forsaking everything in the past in order to grab hold of what's in your future. God says, I need you to leave. Separate yourself from your country, from your relatives, from your father's house, from your family's possessions and property, from the love, care, support, security, and approval of the people you know and the people you hold dear. Why? Because I can't move you to a place of greatness in your future if you're going to hold on to where you are in your present. Let me put according to me and stop there for somebody. Because the biggest thing that's holding you back is not that you can't move forward, is that you can't move forward and stay back at the same time. See, many times God wants to reposition you to better prepare you so you can receive what he is preparing for you. Abram couldn't go and get until he was willing to leave. If you try to hold on to what God is taking away, you won't be able to grab hold of what God is trying to give you. Let me say it again. Somebody missed it. If you try to hold on to what God is taking away, you won't be able to grab hold of what God is trying to give to you. Remember, Terah had a reason. We don't know what it was, but he had a reason to stop in Haran. On his way to Canaan, he stops in Haran. The text says he settles there and he dies in Haran. And God says to Abram, I don't want you to settle in the decision of your father. You have to make a decision for yourself. He says, now, here's what's interesting. He says, leave your family and your kindred. Not that family won't want to go with you, but most family won't go with you. They want you to stay with them. So he says, if somebody wants to go with you, Lot ends up going with them. He says, take them with you. But you can't stay here and go with me at the same time. He says, you've got to recognize that while some people will start with you on the journey to where God wants you to go, you have to be willing to go when they get comfortable where they are. And when they're willing to die where they are. So he says, come with me. I need you to live a life that's totally separated from the world you knew. And I need you to live a life that's totally separated to love the God who is calling you. He says, leave your native country, leave your place, leave your relatives and your family, leave people, and go make progress to a land I will show you that will let you claim a promise. You've got to experience departure from where you are and detachment from who you know. Follow the direction that I'm giving you in order to discover what I have for you. You've got to release where you are and remove certain folk out of your life and respond accordingly to experience the revelation that I have for you. He says, leave your land. Leave what's comfortable and move when I say move. That's relocation. Leave your kinfolk and those who make you feel comfortable, those who you are familiar with. Leave those that you know. Leave behind those who don't want to go with you. That's separation. Because sometimes you have to let go in order to go. Somebody tweet that for me. Sometimes you got to let go in order to go. He says, and go where I send you. Walk by faith into what's unfamiliar, because you can get stuck in the familiar and lose the potential of the unfamiliar where I'm trying to take you. That's progression. And then he says, trust where I'm taking you. That's a destination. But guess what? If I'm not willing to leave, I'll never go. I'll never go. Now, somebody, I'm not talking about where you are necessarily physically. I'm saying for you spiritually, what are you going to do? Because in order for you to do what you've never done before, in order for God to use you in a way that he's never used you before, you can't keep doing what you've been doing when God wasn't using you. God says, I want to use you. I want to do great things through you. I want to make you put you in a place where you have a great testimony of what it means to be used by God. But I cannot get you where I want you to be if you're not willing to leave the place, people, and the predicaments you find yourself in. He says it's a land that I'm going to show you. One author calls it terra incognita. It's an unknown land. It's an unknown place. He says, but can you trust the God that you know to take you to the place you don't know? Are you willing to trust God and believe that God has something better for you? Now, here's what's interesting. God says, I'm not going to show you what I have for you until you're willing to go. See, a lot of us, we want God to show us first. God, where you want me to go? I want to make sure I got a soft landing. I want to make sure I know where I'm going. I want to make sure, because watch this. You know, the Bible says a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. Y'all, that's not in the Bible. That's just something that folk make up and put in the Bible, right? But that's a phrase that celebrates walking by sight and not by faith. Because if God tells me there's two in the bush and I got one in the hand and I got to give up one in the hand to get two in God's bush, then guess what I better do? I better let go of the one in the hand in order to claim what God has for me. And God says, here's what's interesting. I'm going to say this for somebody this morning, because here's what's interesting. The greater the level God wants to take you, the more you have to be willing to give up. See, most folk don't have a problem tithing when it's a dime on a dollar. But they fight if it's 1,000 on 10,000. Same principle, right? Same principle, but it's just a different amount. Got a problem if it's 10,000 on 100,000 or 100,000 on a million. You know, that's a whole lot of money. No, you missed the principle. Do I celebrate in my giving how God has been faithful to me? And so God says, I want you to show me first. Now I want you to look at Genesis chapter 12, verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all his wealth, his livestock, and all the people he had taken into the household, into his household at Haran, and headed for the land of Canaan. He was 75 years old, y'all. He was an old man. But he didn't let his age stop him from obeying. Somebody said, I don't have much time left. Then you ain't got much time left. Somebody said, I got more days behind me than in front of me. Well, then that means you got less days in front of you to obey God. If God says, I'm going to give you the most impactful years of your life with the time you have left, then what you going to do with the time you have left? Because the truth of the matter is, none of us know how much time we have. Everybody in here can have more days behind them than in front of them. So what are you going to do to let God have his way in your life? I want to encourage somebody today to make a decision to hear God and then to think about what you need to do. Who you need to leave? Where do you need to leave? What do you need to leave? And y'all, guess what? Stop using the criteria that it doesn't make sense. Because with God, it doesn't have to make sense. As a matter of fact, I'm a living witness. There are times that God will tell you to do something that doesn't make sense. Not to the human mind. But God says, I'm with you. And I want to know if you're willing to move from where you are to get to where I want you to be. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, look at verse 17. Let's read it together. Therefore, come out from among unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things, and I will welcome you. And I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. You sound so good. Let's read Matthew 6:33 together. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, the New Living Translation says, and he will give you everything you need. I want to help you get to great. Not based on what the world says. You may never win an award. You'll never walk a red carpet. Not in this world. But you will hear God say, well done, when you make a commitment to become great for him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. I thank you, God, because I stand in confidence, believing and knowing that this word was for somebody to help them as they are struggling right now, as they are questioning what it is you have for them. God, I pray right now for that person who's under the sound of my voice. And I pray, God, that you have affirmed publicly today what you have said to them privately. That you have been with them. That you are with them. And that you will be with them. Remind somebody today, God, who may be struggling with the next step, that you were with them when they took the last step. They've settled and been where they are so long that they forgot that the move that they made even then was a faith journey, because they had to give up what they had and trust you for what you would do. Now, God, the trust may be a little more challenging because they got to trust you with more. I pray, God, that they are not like the rich young ruler who's too rich for his own God. I pray, God, that they would recognize that they can't beat you giving, and that they need to even now place all that you have blessed them with on the altar. Affirm, confirm, challenge, encourage somebody today to hear you and to do what you've called them to do. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.